Thank you, Sarah. And now to our final batch of stories. Grim flood warnings are feared as the weather changes. Pumpkins are popping up all over the city, and street lights are dimmed ahead of concerns that LED bulbs harm bugs.
Council bosses say they have already taken action to dim some of Norfolk's streetlights, as a study found the LED-type bulbs are more harmful to insects than the traditional ones. More than 20,000 of Norfolk's main road streetlights, including in Norwich, use LED technology, and work to convert 15,000 more is underway. But scientists have found whiter lights are having an impact on some insect populations. Field studies by the UK Centre for Ecology and Hydrology, Newcastle University and Butterfly Conservation found the abundance of moth caterpillars in hedgerows under LED street lamps was 52% lower than in nearby unlit areas. That compared with a 41% lower abundance in hedgerows lit by old-style sodium lighting. Meanwhile, in grass margins, the moth caterpillar numbers near LEDs were a third lower than in unlit areas, whereas sodium lights had little effect on abundance in this habitat. Scientists said LED lights could be modified by dimming or using filters to reduce the impact on insects. And County Council bosses said some of the measures the report recommended have already been adopted before the report was published, including dimmed lights.
The city's hospital is set to write to the families of scores of patients who died after catching COVID-19 on its wards during the second wave of the pandemic. Since the start of the pandemic, 693 patients died at the Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital within 28 days of testing positive for the virus, while more than 2,000 were treated. But a total of 129 of the patients who died contracted definite or probable infections of the virus while at the hospital itself. Investigations into how these happened are underway as part of a duty of candour probe.
Norwich Open Christmas is set to return this year to celebrate its 30th anniversary. The charity is planning on holding their ever-popular traditional Christmas Day event at St Andrew's Hall. Volunteers provide a traditional Christmas for city folk who are homeless, struggling financially, or even just alone at Christmas. The charity began the venture in 1991 with around 30 guests and 15 volunteers. The charity has grown significantly over the years, seeing more than 500 guests and 200 volunteers attend their last event in 2019. Everyone is welcome, irrespective of religion, race, or gender. People are not charged to attend. Do not expect anyone to book, and guests are free to come and go throughout the day as they please. There is entertainment, free clothing, free food, and they even offer goodie bags to take away if you wish. Last year, due to COVID, the charity delivered food and all sorts of festive parcels to more than 250 people. Carol Lunny, event organiser, said, "The charity is looking for volunteers and donations of food and clothing to make it a special day for our guests."
The first passengers to ride the Flying Scotsman during its two-week Norfolk visit have given the legendary locomotive their stamp of approval. The 1928-built engine, which once set land speed records, took a more leisurely pace on the Mid-Norfolk Railway's route from Dereham to Brickkiln Junction near Wyndham. After the train steamed back into town to conclude its first service, scores of passengers flocked to the end of the platform, eager for photos in front of the famous green locomotive. Railway spokesman Peter Singlehurst said he was thrilled with how the locomotive's visit was going so far. The Flying Scotsman will be in Norfolk until October the 16th, and as well as rail journeys, there will be several static display days where visitors can take a guided tour.
For the first time, Harfest was hosted at the Norfolk Showground, giving thousands of people the opportunity to immerse themselves in the world of agriculture. From sampling some of the county's finest food produce to even combing calves, there was something for the whole family to enjoy at the event, even if the weather didn't hold out for the whole day. It was a real celebration of the agricultural world, with livestock being as much a part of the show as many types of combine harvester.
An exhibition showcasing a vast collection of works by Grayson Perry received a boost when the renowned artist himself turned up to give it his seal of approval. Grayson Perry, the pre-therapy years, had been due to land at the Sainsbury's Centre for Visual Arts in Norwich months ago, but like so many other things, it was postponed as a result of coronavirus restrictions. It finally opened last month and is due to be on display until January the 30th, 2022, showcasing works from the formative years of his career, between 1982 and 1994. I'd never been to the Sainsbury Centre before this, and it's amazing. What a fantastic gallery. It's obviously very well known, but it should be more so. The exhibition includes a variety of pieces from the early years of Mr. Perry's career, consisting largely of clay works, pottery, and other ceramic artworks. And that's all for this edition of Chatterbox. All the stories were taken from the Eastern Evening News with the kind permission of Archant, but Chatterbox accepts responsibility for this audio version. When you've finished with this memory stick, pop it in the wallet supplied and drop it in a postbox, not forgetting to turn over the address label. We hope you've enjoyed listening to Chatterbox. We're always pleased to hear from you, so if you'd like to get in touch, do give us a ring on 01603 765 365. That's 01603 765 365, and leave a message on our answer phone. We're back in the office every Thursday from 10 o'clock, so do give us a ring then or leave a message and we'll return your call as soon as we can. You can also email us at contact@cbtn.org.uk. Thanks go to all our loyal volunteers who make up the production team. This evening, your readers were James McGarry and Bridget Cook, and me, Alison Aplin, and Matthew Tucker. The editor was Sarah Lusher, and the sound recordist was Alex Holmes. So from all of us, goodbye. And don't forget that Let's Talk will now follow.